seated as Donald comes up and gives us his commentary in this week's Torah portion. Thank you, Donald.
Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is entitled Emor, which means speak. It is taken from the book of Leviticus, and it begins in chapter 21, verse 1, and extends through chapter 24, verse 23. It covers several subjects: the priesthood, the sacrifices, and the holy days. But it has but one theme that ties it all together, the theme of holiness. The God of holiness demands holiness from his people. A priest was chosen by God and was to be holy, set apart to serve God. The priest offered gifts to God and brought back gifts from God for the people. A priest brought the people closer to God and brought God closer to the people. A priest was not to make himself ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person or even being in the same house with a dead person, other than his father, his mother, son, daughter, brother, or his unmarried sister. Because they represented God, priests were held to high moral standards. All priests were forbidden to marry a prostitute or a divorcee. A priest's daughter would be put to death if she became involved in immorality. And because of his high position and the anointing from God, the high priest was held to even higher standards than anyone for marriage and mourning rites. The high priest had to marry a virgin to ensure the nation that the next high priest was truly his own son. Adonai always expects more from his leaders because they represented the only holy and perfect God. Priests were also to be without any major physical blemish. Likewise, Leviticus chapter 22 tells us that animals that the priest offered to God had to be without major physical blemishes. Adonai demands and deserves the very best, and we dare not bring him that which is ordinary or worse, blemished. For these sacrifices all foreshadowed Messiah. And since Yeshua himself is the flawless and perfect sacrifice, the animals had to be without defect. And furthermore, the priests and their families were to eat the animals offered up only if every one of them were ceremonially clean. A holy God had a holy people with a holy priesthood who offered holy sacrifices in a holy place. Chapter 23 tells us that God also gave his people holy days, times of rest and refreshing, of fellowship and worship, times of celebrating and remembering with thanksgiving all that God had done for them. These seven holy days were Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Shavuot, Yom Terah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. The first holiday was Passover. This was an annual reminder that Israel's salvation came through the blood of a perfect lamb. But today we understand that Israel's redemption from Egypt was a picture of a far greater deliverance. The slain lamb and the sprinkled blood pointed to a more humble, pure, and holier sacrifice, Yeshua, our Messiah, whose body was broken and whose blood was spilled so that God could pass over the sins of Jews and Gentiles and rescue us from our spiritual Egypts. The next is the holiday of Matzah, or unleavened bread. Lasting 7 days, beginning with Passover, the Jewish people were to eat unleavened bread and to remember their hasty departure from Egypt. But for the believer today, this is a reminder for us to put away sin and be holy. Redemption must lead us to purify ourselves and be holy. Redemption must lead us to purify ourselves and be holy from the filthy ways and associations of this fallen world. And we should remember always that Messiah is the holy and sinless one who helps us to do the right thing so that we can remain in fellowship with the Father. Also taking place during the week of Passover and unleavened bread was an additional holiday of first fruits, presenting God the first sheaves of the barley loaf. This taught the Israelites that it was neither the soil, the raindrops, the sunbeams, the dew, nor the skills of their agriculturalists that they had to thank for their abundant harvest. Israel had to see past the sower and reaper mentality and see that the three-in-one God of Israel was the giver of their bountiful harvest. This holiday of first fruit also had a deeper and more beautiful meaning. Rabbi Paul calls Yeshua the first fruits. Because Messiah rose from the dead, those who become loyal to him will also rise to eternal life. Not one person will be forgotten. The promise is certain. Because he lives, we shall live also. The next holiday is Shavuot or Pentecost. This day is exactly 50 days after the holiday of first fruits. It thanks God for his provision for the wheat harvest. Now, Leviticus mentions no summer festival. The summer was a time for the crops to grow and ripen, but the harvest was yet to come. Now, in terms of God's redemption of the world, we are in the very late days of summer. For the last past 2,000 years, the seed of the gospel has gone out worldwide and has taken root. The harvest of believers from all the nations is soon to be ripened and reaped at the end of the age. Now, the next holiday is Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. In scripture, the shofar was blown to warn of danger and of war. This is a time for believers to look deep within their souls and to battle against everything and anything in their lives that doesn't line up with the word of God. In the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 tells us that Messiah will come. The Messiah will return visibly with a mighty shout, and then there will be an unmistakable cry from an angel. There will be a trumpet fanfare such as never has been heard. Believers in Yeshua who are dead will rise from their graves, and believers who are alive will be lifted into the clouds to meet with Messiah in the air. Now, the next holiday is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Aaron, the high priest, was instructed to make atonement once a year on the horn of the altar with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Two goats were offered up, one a sacrifice at the temple and the other called Aziel, the escape goat. This was and is the most solemn day of the year. Since it represents judgment, this was a day for Israel to be made right with God. Now, Yeshua made us ultimately right with God, but this holiday ought to remind us to pay close attention to the state of our souls. The final holiday is Sukkoth, booth or tabernacles. For 7 days, the Israelites were to live in booths. This reminded them of Adonai's provision and protection during the wilderness wandering. It is a final festival. For us, it is a reminder of the harvest of humanity, a picture of Messianic Jews and Christians being gathered into God's eternal kingdom. Now, Leviticus 24 also focused on holiness. The Israelites were to provide olives from which pure olive oil could be made. And this oil was to burn continually in a menorah made of pure gold. Since there were no windows in the tabernacle, it was necessary to have light in the holy place so the priests could see as they ministered before the Lord. The golden lamp symbolized the word of God, the true light that God gives us in this otherwise dark world. Those who don't know Yeshua don't appreciate the light of the word of God because they don't have the Holy Spirit, the oil. Messiah is the light, and only through him can we see and appreciate spiritual things. It is sad to say, but many churches have had their lights extinguished because of the blindness and unfaithfulness of the members. They neglected prayer, worship, giving, or even yielding to the Holy Spirit's work. A holy God served by a holy priesthood in a holy place illuminated by a holy light would provide for the needs of a holy people. This same God has promised to meet our needs as well. Now, Amor ends with the incident of a man blaspheming God. This man was stoned to death. This should remind us that a holy people cannot use unholy words about a holy God. God is Kadosh, holy, and holiness must be honored. To defy the holy is dangerous business. It can result in divine judgment. Serving the Lord is not child's play, but extremely serious business. Christians and Messianic Jews are holy. We are separated, set apart, and dedicated to serve this same holy God. And it would bless us if we understood that positionally, we are already holy because we are joined to the holy Messiah. But Adonai wants our lives to reflect that reality. Unlike the requirements of the Jewish priests, Adonai doesn't demand physical perfection of us. The new covenant focus is on morality and holy living. Our whole mind, body, soul, spirit should be holy, set apart for God and his service. And like the priest of old, let's live sanctified and holy lives so that our spiritual offerings, worship, praise, prayers, and deeds will be acceptable to our holy God. Let's keep ourselves from the pollution of this world. Let's learn, teach, and practice the holy word of God. Let's always remember that Messiah Yeshua, the holy Lamb of God, is our righteousness. And may this polluted world see that we are different. And let us all pray that they turn from unrighteousness to our good, perfect, and holy God. Amen. Shabbat shalom.